chapter 10. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation this morning, but I just want to give a little bit of context of what's going on so that we can kind of understand. You know, next week is Palm Sunday. The week after that is Good Friday, or Good Friday is next week as well. And then Easter Sunday. And so we're kind of headed into this Holy Week is what we call it. And with this passage of Scripture that we're reading is kind of similar. We're kind of in a similar position as the disciples and the followers of Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus was in Samaria and that his face is now set towards Jerusalem. His gaze is set towards Jerusalem. So, in other words, he knows that his time has come to start traveling towards Jerusalem to sacrifice himself for the welfare of all mankind, right? So his face is set to Jerusalem. He is bent on traveling from Samaria to Jerusalem. And so he's taking all his followers and his disciples, and he spreads them out, and he sends them out on an incredible mission. And so this morning we're going to take the principle of this of Luke chapter 10 and apply it to ourselves, because we are his followers in the here and now, right? We are Christ's followers in the here and now. Everybody say, yep. Amen. Okay. All right, so here we are, Luke chapter 10, and the followers of Christ are about to embark on this such important mission. Here we go. Now the Lord chose 72 other disciples, and he sent them ahead of him in pairs to all the towns and places that he had planned to visit. All right, so Jesus was going to arrive at all of these towns and these villages, and so what he did is he sent his people, his followers ahead on a mission. And we're going to see what that mission is in just a second. But he sends them ahead of him. He's going to arrive. And he sends them, the followers, in front of him. All right, so very important imagery right there. And so he says to them, and then he begins to instruct them in verse 2. And he says, these were those instructions that he gave to them, the 72. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. In other words, he's using this agricultural image that there's this harvest that God is wanting to do, this harvest that God is wanting to gather people to himself, calling upon people to himself and gathering people to himself. And there's so many people that he's drawing to himself and that he's calling to himself, but there were few workers in this harvest to do the collecting, to actually be the ones who are that connection point between this God who is calling humanity to himself and the workers in the field who are saying, come on, let me show you who this Jesus is. Let me gather you guys together. He says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. And so here it is, ready? He gives an instruction right away. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into the fields. So this is the first instruction that Jesus gives them. He's sending them out ahead of himself. He's going to arrive in these villages, and he says, first things first, pray earnestly, is what most of your translations will say. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest that he will send workers, more workers, into the harvest field. Now, when you look at these words, you have to ask yourself, You got to confront yourself with this. Do I pray for the harvest? If I am a follower of Christ and God has placed me on this earth as one of his followers to carry out his mission, is part of my mission that I pray for the harvest? Do I regularly pray for the Lord's work around the world? Do I ask God to raise up and to send out workers into his harvest, to raise up faithful and devoted, committed followers who are sold out for his mission? Do you pray for that? Is praying for the harvest something that you do? And if we're all honest, and we think about our prayer mode, our default prayer mode is what? That we pray for things that matter to us, right? That's our default prayer mode. And rightly so. Like, so if I pray for my children, because they're important to me, they matter to me. I pray for my wife. I pray for our marriage. Why? Because that matters to me. When you're sick and you're unhealthy, you pray to the Lord so they would heal you because your health matters to you. When you're in financial trouble, you ask God to provide those needs and to provide a job and to satisfy those needs. Why? Because it's important. Those needs are important to you. But the question that for us all this morning is we have to ask ourselves, does the Lord's harvest matter enough to me to pray for it? Does God's harvest, And all of these people around the world that he is drawing to himself right now, Scripture says, that God is drawing all of humanity to himself continuously, and that we are God's contact point to these people, right? Is it important to us to pray for God's harvest? Does the gathering of God's people who have yet to know him matter to me? And it's something that we really all have to, we have to come face to face with, because this is the instruction that God gives to us and his followers to go and pray earnestly. And so if we're going to be obedient to this, we're going to pray and ask the Lord to send more workers into the harvest, right? And I want you all this week to begin praying for that. Make it like a routine part of your prayer life to be obedient to this and say, God, I pray for the harvest. Bring people to them. Draw them to yourself. Who is it, Lord, that you want me to reach out to? Because what you'll find is something interesting that happens when you start praying for the harvest. It's not long as you're praying for more workers into the harvest field that God kind of captures your own heart. And he taps you on the shoulder and says, well, what about you? I've got you. I want you to be in my harvest. I want you to work in my harvest. I've called you too. And I've anointed you. I've entrusted you with my story. I've appointed you. I've placed you exactly where I've determined for you so that you can work in my harvest field as well. You see, every believer is a worker in God's harvest field. Every believer is a worker in God's harvest field. Each and every one of you have been given these special talents and abilities and spiritual gifts that God has given to you, and he's told us in Scripture to use them for the advancement of his kingdom. And so every believer, everyone in this room, if you call upon the name of Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you are to be a witness of Jesus Christ to others in your sphere of influence, right? That's your purpose. That's your calling. That's this mission that Jesus is sending them out on. And it's what he's called you to, and it's what he had in mind when he gave you breath for this very day and age, right now, that you would be his people. You would be his called out ones. You have been called upon by the God of the universe. Let that just sink deep. The God of the universe has called upon you to take on his mission, to take on his kingdom's mission. He's called upon you. And so these men and these women that we're reading about that Jesus sends out, they go out with this strong sense of this urgency, this sense of mission. Now, it's a special mission, yes, and we weren't commissioned to be to do exactly what Jesus did in this specific context. But in Matthew 6:33, Jesus commands us all to what? To seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And so if our focal point is on his kingdom and the advancement of his kingdom and the mission of his kingdom, then it's impossible to deny the fact that we should all have a sense of mission from God. Because our hearts and our minds are stayed on his mission to seek first his kingdom and his kingdom's mission. But above everything else, let your mind be stayed on, let your mind be focused on God's kingdom here on this earth, right here and now, and how you fit into God's picture. So whatever you do, do it with a seriousness of purpose. It comes from realizing that you've got a job to do. We've all got an incredible job to do, and that one day each and every one of us is going to have to give account before the Lord and give an account of what we did with what he told us to do. When we came face to face with these words, and we're hearing them right now, even in this very morning, we're hearing God's instructions to us. What are we going to say to him when we say, yeah, I heard it many, 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 many times, but God, maybe I was not obedient in that. I did not submit myself to those things. And so again, while there are specific instructions in this passage, the main point does apply to us. The principle applies to us, and that is this. We're not here to just dabble in the things of God. We're not here just to be partially immersed in the things of God, half in or half out. If coming to church on Sunday mornings is the full extent of your involvement in God's mission, then you're missing a huge part of the picture, a massive part of the picture. Church is so important. I absolutely believe Scripture tells us that the local gathering of believers should come together and worship Him. But this on Sunday morning isn't the mission. The mission field is when you go out the doors, as Pastor Phil says. It's as soon as you walk out these doors, that's your mission field. Your family, your workplace, your neighbors. That's the mission field. Church on Sunday mornings is the huddle, where we gather together as the local group of believers and we say, okay, coach, what is it that you would have for us today? What is it that you want to teach us today? What's the game plan for now? What direction are you leading us in as a local gathering of people? What do you want us to focus on? And we come in here on Sundays, we huddle up, and then we go out and we play the game. We go into that harvest field. That's your field. That's your mission field. And God has called upon you, the God of the universe. It's called upon me. And you, and the power of His death and His resurrection, what we're going to celebrate is that we have the freedom to walk in that, as Mike was saying this morning, that we don't have to sit and be bolted down by our shame and the guilt, but we are free to live in the promises and the calling and the identity that we are and the Scripture says that we are. And in that confidence, in that hope, in that identity, we're free to be who God calls us to be. We're free to live for Him, as we all just sang. We're free to live with Him. And so we're not just to dabble in the things of God. We're not supposed to take a casual approach to the gospel. The gospel should be everything to you. The gospel, the good news, the message must be everything to you. Why? Because it's responsible for everything good that you have right now and everything that you will have good in the future. It is responsible for your eternal life. It is responsible for your redemption. It is responsible for the erasing and the freedom of sin and the penalty of death. It is responsible for the future hope that you have. The good news is responsible for the eternal blessings and the favor of God poured out on your life here and now. It is responsible for every good thing. Every good thing. That's why the gospel should be everything to you. And that's why we cannot just dabble in the things of God, where we're just partially immersed in the things of God. And only one part of my life is for God, and everything else in my life does not reflect. Man, my lips do not reflect that He's King. My life does not reflect that He's King. The gospel has to be everything to us. We cannot just pick and choose the commands that we're going to obey. We cannot be people who are, you're a follower of Christ, you cannot follow Him selectively. To follow Christ means I've given up everything. I've given up and I've denied myself the rights to myself. And now all that I am, everything I have, is Yours. And I'm walking with You, Jesus. I'm walking with You. Jesus is the King, and He's looking for total dedication, not half-hearted commitment. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. You see, what happens is that this mission of our King and His kingdom, Scripture says that we have now become citizens of this kingdom. And so if we are focused and we seek first His kingdom, then His mission becomes our mission, right? The King's mission now becomes our mission. He left. He ascended into heaven. And He established the church, the gathering of local believers who have called upon His name. And He was conforming into His own image and said, I've called upon you. I've appointed you. I've entrusted you with this. I've entrusted you with this. Now go, take it with a sense of urgency. And so the point I'm trying to make is that we cannot sincerely pray for workers to go into the harvest if we aren't one of them ourselves. And so he goes on and he says, that's the first instruction. I want you to pray and ask for workers of the harvest. And again, you cannot pray too long for workers of the harvest before your own heart gets captivated and says, well, what about me? I've been called to this. So his first instruction to these followers was go and pray. And then the second thing is he says, now go. First thing, pray earnestly. Now go yourselves. Go yourselves. And he says, and remember, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor any pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anybody on the road. And so essentially, you know, these are the specific instructions that the specificities of this passage that don't really apply. We don't go out two by two, right? We go out with our money and stuff like that. But the principle is the same, and he's saying here, don't give up. He's saying, I'm going to send you out like lambs among wolves. Don't give up because there's going to be opposition. There's going to be opposition and you're going to be facing rejection. But don't give up, but rather expect it. Be ready for it. Be heads up. Be heads up. And he goes on, he says, don't get distracted with these social obligations or material possessions, but stay focused on the mission that I've called you to. Don't get distracted. Stay focused on the mission of his kingdom. Moving on in verse 5. And he says, and whenever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. And if those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. And if they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Do not hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. I'm going to stop right there. Essentially, what you can sum up from this, if you want to write things down, look for that person of peace, is what Jesus is saying here. Look for those people of peace. Keep an eye out. Be attentive to the people around you who are receptive to you and the message that you bring. Be attentive to that. Because the ones who are receptive to you and who receive you and the message that you bring, those are the people who are going to respond. Those are the people who receive the message that you bring and give them. So he's saying here, keep an eye out. Look for these people of peace who don't reject you, who don't just shun you out. Look and keep your eyes open for the people who are receptive to the message that you're bringing. Because those are the people who will respond. And finally, Jesus gives them a message, the message that they are to carry out. These harvest workers that he sends out. He gives them the instructions, and here's the message that he tells them. In verse 9, heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. What does that mean? I want you to realize that, remember, Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem, right? He knows what's about to happen. He knows what's about to unfold. The disciples don't know what's about to unfold. They're simply being obedient in faith. But Jesus knew what was about to happen. He knew that his face was set towards Jerusalem. He knew he was headed to fulfill his redemptive purpose for coming to earth. And everything would change. Everything would change. And so when these disciples, we have this amazing privilege as disciples on this side of the cross and on this side of the resurrection to say that when we bring this message and we say the kingdom of God has come near to you, understand the people of God are not going to understand. I mean, the people in the world are not going to understand that language, right? The kingdom of God has come near to you. But what it is that you bring, the message that it is you bring, is that Jesus is the establishment of the kingdom of God on this earth and is found in that person of Jesus, right? Jesus is the kingdom of God that came to earth. He has established the kingdom of God on earth. So when you point people to Jesus, you're saying that Jesus came near to you. That the God of heaven came near to humanity, put on flesh, and sent his son to be one of us, to live as one of us, to die as one of us, to work as one of us. He came near to you, to mankind. And so that's what you're declaring. You're essentially claiming that the kingdom of God is now present in the person of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is here. It is now and is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And when he commands his disciples, go and heal the sick and proclaim the kingdom of God, I want you to notice something here. There's a beautiful relationship between your actions and your words. Heal the sick and proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. So your lips and your lives have to be in unison. They have to be together. They have to be working together. It cannot just be your lips, but your life has to declare and proclaim that Jesus is Lord, that he is the King. And so when we're walking around, and so that's why Jesus says, go and heal the sick. You've been given the power of the Holy Spirit within you to lay hands on people and to heal the sick. Go and do what Jesus was doing. Be his hands and his feet. We've all heard that, right? Be his hands and his feet. Let your life demonstrate what your heart and your mind believe in faith. Let your life demonstrate it. Let it be in beautiful unison with your lips. Heal the sick and proclaim the kingdom of God has come near. Both our lives and our lips making known that Jesus is King. That his power, his authority, his plans, his purposes, they've been inaugurated. In other words, go and tell people that the Messiah King has arrived. He's arrived. The one who brings eternal hope and future hope, eternal life, immediate redemption. Go and tell people that the person of Jesus, the kingdom of God has arrived in the person of Jesus. And bring that message to those people, those persons of peace who would receive it. And bring it to them. And this is the message that if Jesus Christ is King and he has arrived, then submit your life to him. Then submit your life to him. That's the message. That's what God has called upon you to do. Say that the kingdom of God has arrived in the person of Jesus Christ. And if this is true, if he is King and he's arrived, then submit your life to him. Prostrate your life before him. Surrender it all to him. It's a message that absolutely draws a definitive line in the sand. I have gotten into a conversation with my next door neighbor who loves philosophy. And I said, you know the thing about philosophy and about truth, when you talk, because we got into the conversation about truth. Truth is absolute, right? Truth is absolute. And by the nature, truth is exclusive. It's either truth or not truth. It is or it isn't. And so when Jesus came to establish what truth is, it is exclusive. It's a definite line in the sand. And that's why Jesus has called us to go and look for those persons of peace, those people who receive you, who receive the message you bring. And in that, tell them that the King has arrived. Explain to them how the King has arrived. And encourage them to submit their lives to him. I know we're running low on time. But this is really important as we're leading up to the Easter week and the Holy Week. And because this is the mission of the church. This is our mission. This is why God has called you into his kingdom. This is your purpose. This is your purpose. This is your purpose. We are the instrument of God's kingdom here right now in this location on earth. And you've been appointed and qualified for this mission. These people that Jesus sent out, they were no more qualified than anybody else. They were no more educated than anybody else. They were just normal men and women. They had no higher status than one another. They were just normal people like you and I. And God called upon them to change the world. But here's the most important point. Right here it is. Though they were not any more special than each other, they were all just normal people, what they had and what equipped them to do the work that Christ was calling them to and sending them out with urgency on the sense of mission was that they had an awareness of the power of Jesus and his presence. That's it. They had an awareness of his power. They've seen his miracles. They've seen what he can do. And they were aware of his presence and what takes place when you are in close proximity with the God of the universe, the King of Kings, the Savior. They knew what took place. That's what they have, and that's what you have. That's what qualifies you, and that's what equips you. The awareness of the power of Jesus in your life, of what he's done in your life. You are witnesses of what he's done in your life over and over and over again. You have testimonies and stories of what God has done. That's what you have. Go and share it with people. And tell them how your life has changed simply because Jesus Christ has come near to you. Amen? Amen. A few years ago, there's some newspapers ran a story about a guy who jumped out of an airplane. He was skydiving. Well, his parachute didn't open. And he plummeted to the ground 3,000 feet. And you can imagine how fast you're going 3,000 feet. And it took about a minute, they said, for him to plummet to the ground. Believe it or not, this guy survived. I said, I don't even know how. But can you just imagine for a second what your mind would be thinking in that last? You think it's your final minute of life and breath. But what would you be thinking, right? And the truth of the matter is that there's people all around us plummeting toward eternity without a parachute, and that's parachute is Jesus Christ. And so these little cards that we have here, use them. Invite somebody. Use these as a little engagement, an invitation to somebody, family worker, neighbor, friend, somebody who is a person of peace, somebody who you've recognized has been open and receptive to what it is that you believe and why you believe it and the faith that you have and why you give yourself fully to it and why you're so committed to it. Find those people and invite them. Because what will take place on Palm Sunday and Good Friday and the Easter morning is that they're going to be able to hear the whole story of Scripture. They're going to see the whole, they're going to get the whole picture. And they're going to have opportunities to give their hearts to the Lord next week. But I want you to realize that it's more than just their personal salvation. And I say that lightly. It's not, their personal salvation is absolutely important, but it's about introducing people to kingdom life. It's introducing and connecting people to the hope of the future and their true calling and their purpose as a citizen of kingdom and of the kingdom of God and what God wants to do with their lives. Salvation is the beginning. It's the start of eternity. We're going to be working for the Lord. We're going to be on mission forever. There's no unemployment. There's no retirement in this thing. Salvation is the beginning in which God says, I've called you. Let's work together for eternity. Let's do it. Let's do it. So reach out to those people. Begin to pray. Begin to pray this week. Pray earnestly. Take the scripture, Luke 10, take this and apply it to your life and say, this is what God is calling me to. Take it seriously. Pray earnestly for the harvest. Pray earnestly that God would draw people to himself, that he would open your eyes to see the people that he wants you to reach to. And invite them here, and that will just be the beginning. That will just be the beginning. Go out with a sense of mission into the labor field. Live and speak a message in a way that honors Jesus Christ as King. Because this gospel message is crucial to all of mankind. And believe it or not, yes, you are the messenger. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for calling upon each and every one of us. Lord, there's nothing that compares to being called by you for such an incredible, divine, sacred purpose such as this. Lord, that our lives are not just these menial, meaningless hours and days that pass by, but God, every single moment has purpose. And I thank you for that. I thank you, God, for the purpose that you've given every single person in this place. Father, I pray that right now and through this week that this will become a beautiful burden on their hearts. A beautiful burden on all of our hearts, including me, Lord God. God, prompt us to pray for the harvest. Lord, prompt us to pray for workers that you would raise up. And God, we ask right now that you would raise up faithful, devoted followers to carry out your work. Lord, we celebrated it today. And Lord, we're asking you for more. We're asking you for more workers, Lord, to carry out this incredible divine plan. There are people all around us, and we all know them. They're our friends, they're our family members, they're our co-workers, they're our neighbors, who will not experience eternal life with you. And so, God, I ask that you gently place this burden, this light burden of yours on our hearts and our minds as we leave here today. And compel us, Lord God, that we, and remind us that we are your messengers here and now. We are here. And so, Lord, we submit ourselves to the King, to you right now in this message. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, God bless you guys. The cafe is now open.